And now, our defense of the Earth against alien attack continues on Tron, the Ultimate Video Radio Special. Before you can even hope to comprehend the world of Tron, it helps to understand the universe of video games. What follows is an ears-on primer of the games. Now, some of them feature cute characters, like Ron Howard's fave Ray.
They've got this new one that I noticed the other day. A little frog that jumps across a freeway and a river and drowns and gets run over and makes all these sounds. And, well, I really found myself identifying with that frog and, you know, I was feeling a lot of jeopardy for the frog. And so I'd feel like I was getting hit and knocked down, and, but I was okay. You know, I could survive that.
Drop your magic swagger, Froggy. Froggy takes one step at a time. The way that he moves has no reason or rhyme. He hops and jumps, dodges and ducks, cars and buses, vans and trucks.
Go, Froggy, go.
You gotta keep on hopping till you get to the top.
Go, Froggy, go.
You gotta keep on hopping, you can never stop. Go, go, Froggy, go.
And from Frogger, we leap to one of the most captivating multi-dimensional games around today. Tempest. We asked one avid player why she yields to temptation.
Well, I discovered when I was at a convention, video games, and after the end of the day, we would go and we discovered Tempest. It was really silly because there's no game. There's nothing to win. It's not like a slot machine. You might get money out of it. There's no prize. Maybe you can get your initials and your score if you're in the top 9 players. But there's no rational reason why you sit there and drop all this money on a video game. There is no rational reason, but it's fun, and you get all excited, and your pulse picks up, and you get crazy, and you drop $25 in 2 hours playing an electronic game. And there's no rationale.
Video games.
They relieve tension and they permit me to get rid of my violent aggression out. Usually I play about 3 or 4 hours a day. Seriously, you can't tell today because I just got off of work.
Ever since computer games became the number one amusement attraction, the pages of the music business trade publications have been filled with dire warnings about how video could one day kill off the record business as we know it. One radio star video didn't kill is Boston disc jockey Jerry Goodwin. He rose to the challenge of the game Galaxian with an intriguing scan through the looking glass of a picture tube in a parody he called The Galaxian.
I am surrounded by blackness. Everything else is meaningless except my fellow squadron members. 10 rows, 12 across of the finest warships the Academy of Intergalactic Science can provide. We are the Galaxians, and we are awesome. Alpha Squadron 1, 2, and 3 are psyched. They will be the first to attack. It is in the program, and nothing can go wrong. The programmers have assured us victory is in our hands. I get a chill feeling down my spine when I spot that ground-to-air defense system they've got. I watch as Alpha Squadron moves out. My fingers are crossed. Alpha 1 commences firing. Oh, my God. The hit. Alpha 2 gone. Please, no more. And the squadron right out there right now. They defy the fastest. Lord, all three of them hit us like that. My turn now. We are the Delta Squadron, and I am their leader. In my hands are moist with sweat as I grasp my controls and move the ship into overdrive. The three of us arc around the body of our defense. We fire photon after photon on the enemy base as we careen toward it. It is up to them. Whoa, I'm close. I'm getting closer. I'm actually going to win. I can feel it.
God! It's right on me. I can't bang it. It's too late. And I see faces, huge glowing faces laughing at me from beyond the sky.
Hey, I beat the Galaxian. Yeah. I beat him, man. I beat the machine for the first time.
Oh,
give me another quarter, Eddie.
Oh, come on, Al. Let's go play Space Invaders.
Hey, this is the first time I ever beat the Galaxian machine, man. I mean, you know, this is the toughest machine in the whole tower.
Come on, man. I'm getting tired.
Oh, we always play Space Invaders. Think about it.
Now, before you start thinking that the warriors you battle in a video game don't have feelings of their own, you better hold your judgment for a while. But first, while we were talking to people at the arcade, a brand new game was being rolled out onto the floor. A game that made owner Dick Song whistle a happy tune.
This is Tron, and we've been fortunate enough to get Tron prior to the movie coming out. And they are introducing movies and games and records now all the same way. So we're all tied into the amusement industry now.
Well, history in the making. Our microphones were there as a fellow named Ben became the first kid on his block to play Tron.
Tron is incredible. You haven't played video games until you play Tron. It's really awesome. It's 4 games in 1. I don't know, it's really bizarre. It's like a whole collage of life.
I'm real good at Falzone. I'm pretty good at Saxon. I'm getting pretty good at the Tron game that's out now. I think those are probably my big three at the moment.
That fellow isn't your typical video devotee. He's Steven Lisberger. And back in the late 70s, he got a brilliant idea.
I had a small animation studio, and we were doing work for the network. And I had been keeping abreast of what was happening in the field of computer-generated motion picture film. Simultaneously with that, I was playing video games. And I started to realize that there were parallel paths that were happening between computer-generated motion picture film and computer-generated imagery on video games. I watched kids play video games and was amazed at how into it they got. Into it, in quotes. So what happened is I got the idea to put all these elements together and really put a kid into video games. So what we have is a story about a computer programmer who invents video games for a large computer conglomerate, and he finds himself catapulted into his creation, which is a little bit like what's happening to us. The world today is what we have created and all its technology, and it's now something that we're going to have to make the best of, and I'm very optimistic about it.
Tron, ultimate video game, the ultimate computer movie, conceived, written, and directed by Steven Lisberg. Now, the idea that somebody could be zapped into the microelectronic world of a computer might seem absurd at first, but as any video vet will tell you, playing a computer game is a highly interactive experience. And as Lisberger explains, a part of you is already inside a computer.
Yeah, the idea is that each of us is in this electronic dimension in one form or another. I mean, whether it's through your driver's license or your tax forms or your Blue Cross or your school records, there's some information of you that is already existing in the electronic world. With some of us, the people that are involved with computers, a lot more is in that dimension. People are spending countless hours putting their best thoughts and best part of their life's work into a computer form. What we try to present in the film is that for each of us, there is a computer program, a body of information, if you will, who's in there. And what happens in the story is that Flynn, who tries to take on the NCOM computer system, which he thinks has stolen one of his programs, finds himself digitized by their laser equipment, scanned down into the video games he's invented, and he has to play them from the inside. And he has certain magical powers now because of the fact that he knows these games. But what's really amazing is that he runs into the counterpart programs of his friends in the real world and forms new friendships with them. And since he knows their users, that is the real people from the real world on the other side, he sort of knows what their goals are as computer programs. And through their combined efforts, they manage to change the system from the inside.
Sail into the no man's land of computer circuitry when Tron, the ultimate video radio special, comes back. And now, on to the next level of Tron, the ultimate video radio special. In Tron, the future is now. Jeff Bridges plays Flynn, a computer whiz who's trying to find out who's been stealing his video game programs from the mammoth NCOM computer.
I still do not understand why you want to break into the system.
Because, man, somewhere in one of these memories is the evidence.
His quest for the culprit brings him face to face with NCOM's all-powerful master control program.
Hey, it's the big master control program everybody's been talking about.
The MCP.
Remember the time you spent on Chesterday? That isn't everything you want to do, Flynn. I'm afraid. Stop.
Please. You realize I can't allow this.
How are you going to run the universe if you can't even answer a few insolvable problems? Huh? Come on, big fella. Let's see what you got.
I'd like to go through this field and see what you're doing.
You want me to look at things like your pictures?
I'm warning you. You're entering a big error, friend. I'm going to have to put you on the game, friend.
Games? You want games? I'll give you games.
Suddenly, a laser zaps Flynn inside the computer.
Oh, man, this isn't happening. It only takes it's happening.
Into a world of living energy, populated by programs who are the alter egos of their programmers, all doing their bit for the tyrannical MCP.
We got the program now. We had some trouble picking him up. He got scanned down those new members.
Something must be up. This sort of priority pipelining doesn't happen often. This guy won't last long. I can tell already.
He could be dangerous. Some of these guys fight like tigers when they're red up.
Flynn is one of the good guys. The bad guy in Tron is Dillinger. He's an unscrupulous executive at ENCOM, a communications conglomerate. And his alter ego inside the computer is Sark, an entity whose master is none other than the notorious Master Control Program. The dual role of Dillinger and Sark is played by David Warner.
All of the principal characters are two characters. One in the real world, where we all work for and with a computer company. And then our alter egos get involved in the fantasy element of the movie inside, in a kind of conflict battle inside a computer. So in the real world, at the beginning and the end of the movie, we just look like ordinary people. And then we all, we're the same actors, but we all look a little bit different, I think you'll find, inside the computer world.
Despite all the times David has seen Tron, he's still overwhelmed by the film's stunningly innovative use of computer animation.
It really is so hard, especially over the radio, to talk in words about the way the movie looks, because it is so unique. It's a Disney movie, but by the way, it's very important that you should know that it's not cartoon time, you know, which are wonderful. I mean, try and describe Fantasia, right? You know, because it was such an innovation. This is another visual first, actually, which I know that Walt Disney, if he was with us, would certainly approve of the development. But it is hard in mere words to describe what something looks like.
There are programs for war games.
I've got a little challenge for you, Sark. A new recruit. In a tough case, but I want to treat him in the usual manner. Train him for games, give him hope for a while, and blow him away.
You got it. I've been hoping you'd send me somebody with a little bit of guts. What kind of program is it?
It's not any kind of program, Sark. It's a user.
A user?
That's right. It pushed me in the real world. Somebody pushes me, I push back, so I brought him down here. What's the matter, Sarge? You look nervous.
Well, I don't know, a user, I mean, users wrote us. A user even wrote you.
No one user wrote me. I'm with millions of them out here.
What if I can't?
You'd rather take your chances with me. Want me to slow down your power cycles for you?
Wait! I need that!
Then pull yourself together. Get this ground train. I want him in the game to the dice train. Acknowledge.
Acknowledge, Master Control.
End the line.
Yeah.
obvious question, what is Tron? Well, Tron is a security program which an engineer named Alan Bradley has written for the NCOM computer.
What's the project you're with?
It's called Tron. It's a security program itself, actually. It monitors all contacts between our system and other systems.
Sounds good.
But just as good a question is, who is Tron? Tron is Alan Bradley's counterpart inside the computer, the mightiest electronic warrior of them all, steadfastly defiant of the master control program.
Greetings. The master control program has chosen you to serve your system on the game grid. Those of you who renounce will be eligible to join the warrior elite of the MCC.
The alter egos of Alan Bradley and Tron are reminiscent of Clark Kent and Superman. In this case, the dual personalities are deftly portrayed by Bruce Boxleitner. Like everyone else involved with the movie, Bruce found Tron to be a positive learning experience.
Computers are here, and there are people that are here today among us that have the technology. And that was kind of a byline. We have the technology. It was kind of our byline during the whole shooting. We do have the technology to take us wherever we want to go. I think the film gives us hope that it is not a gloomy doomsday out there. These aren't doomsday devices. They're extensions of us. And when there's kind of a shot of a cityscape of Los Angeles or a large city at night, it's kind of very reminiscent of the video world. You're there every day. You look around you, but you don't really notice it. But once you see Tron, you sort of point up and look at it, and suddenly it's very different looking. When you drive home tonight on that freeway, suddenly it's going to be very reminiscent of what you saw in the film.
Hey, who's that guy?
That's Tron. He fights for the users.
Tron.
Another of the stars of Tron, and the only woman in the movie, Cindy Morgan.
Every classic hero-heroine adventure film has a female lead. In the real world, I play a person who is a computer scientist. I play a very modern woman, very competent, very capable. I have a laser project and my own computer terminal. In the other world, it's the classic heroine role. I share it with Bruce as the classic hero. This box lightning.
Okay, please. I'm going to put him at my terminal. I'm going to meet you in your office, too.
Don't fall asleep.
Look, as long as we stay off the top floor, Dillinger will never know we've been in here.
Good luck, Hotshot.
Okay. Remember, this laser is my life's work. Don't spill anything.
Like a man says, there's no problems, only solutions.
Thank you. songs by Journey and a music score by Wendy Carlos, Tron is an audio as well as video delight. Together, they dazzle the senses in a multi-dimensional light and magic show the likes of which no one has experienced before. Seeing is believing, and even after that, believing is still a little bit difficult. And so, the computer game has come of age. It began with a quarter and a couple of blips on the screen, and now it has evolved into a higher kind of intelligence. Not too long ago, computers and the games they spawned were viewed as the harbingers of a particularly odious kind of brave new world. But today, who knows? Maybe they're a sign of hope. Tron creator and director, Steven Lisberger.
Unlike the previous revolution of the 60s, where it was mostly of the mind and there wasn't too many material changes. I mean, after all the energy that went into the 60s, you know, Mick Jagger's still just yelling, I can't get no satisfaction. Things haven't changed a whole lot. But I think that now these kids are ironically going through an electronic revolution, but in this case, it's on the material plane as well, and I think they really are going to be able to change the world for the better in a way that we're, you know, going to see and feel.
Video Radio Special was written by Alan Daniel Goldblatt. Recording engineer Marty Rosenstock. Produced by Peter Rubenstein with technical production by Ron Hummel. Executive producer Peter Riches. This has been a production of Riches, Rubenstein, and Radio Incorporated in association with The Source. I'm John Leader. Thanks for listening.